was huge. People, everybody wants to know.
I mean, there is an amazing map there. It is really hard to find this kind of information. It's sort of like locals know.
Right.
You know, but other than that, I mean,
there's not a website.
Usually. No, if you go to Explore Minnesota, a few things might pop up, but it's like, you kind of know, like, there might be something going on in McGregor or, you know, Deerwood or something like that. And that's maybe not going to show up there.
Well, and they've even got it broken down by North Central Minnesota, Northeastern Minnesota. Like, there's very specific maps for you to dig into and just check it out. I mean, truly, you could make the rounds for probably a week straight.
Are you a fan of fireworks?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I don't have strong feelings about them either way. I have attended a laser show, which honestly, I feel like is the way of the future.
Oh, okay.
It was amazing. Huh. And there's no debris. There's no noise. There's, you know.
Animals. You just think of animals.
I know. I do kind of, I mean, how great though is the boom and then the ooh.
Yeah.
You know, like the crowds, oohs and ahs.
Yeah. I have wonderful, cherished memories of that, of the regular going to the fireworks. I don't so much care about
anymore.
Them. No.
Yeah.
I just don't. But I love that all the towns gather and all these people come together to do these sorts of things. There's always other things going on, parades and stuff like that. But they are just long-held traditions across these small towns in our region that we cover. So check out that story on the what's going on for the 4th of July and fireworks maps at kaxe.org.
We receive support from Harmony Food Co-op, Bemidji's full-service downtown grocery store, offering people a variety of local, organic, fair trade, and conventional items. Open daily from 8 to 8, more at harmonyfoods.coop, also on Facebook.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. People-powered radio in northern Minnesota. You can join us at kaxe.org.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. As Bemidji works to clean up the damage from a hurricane-strength windstorm, local law enforcement officials encourage home and business owners to be cautious with their contractors. Larissa Donovan has more.
As the home of the Lumberjacks, Bemidjians might feel pressure to clear tree debris away from their properties as quickly as possible. In times of disaster, residents are encouraged to do their due diligence when hiring contractors for tree removal, roof repair, and more. Bemidji Police Chief Mike Maston encourages homeowners to check references and licenses and to wait before signing anything or handing over money.
I know everyone wants to have it cleaned up right now, and there's this belief that you got to get on the list. And that's unfortunately when we see the most scams happen. They show up, they say, hey, I noticed you got a tree on your roof. We're piling up a whole lot of jobs. The list is getting long, but I'll fix it for $5,000. Typically, it's a price better than anything they've heard. But it's still a lot of money. And for $5,000, I'll fix it. Give me a deposit of $2,000 today, and I'll be back tomorrow to start. And people are overwhelmed because everything they've heard is it's going to be weeks and months. So they hand out the $2,000 in cash, and they never see the person again.
The city of Bemidji requires all contractors to be permitted through its building department, with more information on the city website. Maston also warns of other scams that may be targeting the area, such as the grandparent scams.
We've made national news. So now we are, I don't want to say a target, but now we are the focus of attention.
Beltrami County Chief Deputy Jarrett Walton says while the county does not have permitting requirements like within city limits, residents are still encouraged to do their homework.
If something doesn't seem right, I wouldn't go with them. I mean, there's other contractors around as well. So, you know, just be mindful, and if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Power has been restored to more customers within Bemidji city limits as of Wednesday morning, with 1,800 more customers with power than Tuesday morning. Beltrami Electric restored 300 more customers as of Wednesday morning. Between the two companies, around 400 customers are still without power. Larissa Donovan, KAXE News.
The State Department of Agriculture has confirmed emerald ash borer in several new locations in northern Minnesota. More of the invasive pest was found in rural Carlton County, and it has also been found in Ottertail and Wadena counties for the first time. The insect larvae kills ash trees by tunneling under the bark, then feeding on the parts of the tree that move nutrients up and down the trunk. The ag department is setting up quarantines in the newly infested areas to go into effect in August. Ash logs, tree waste, chips, and mulch will not be allowed in or out of areas without special permission. All firewood will also be regulated. There are already quarantines in place for Crow Wing and Aiken counties, along with the southern parts of St. Louis County and Lake County. 58 of Minnesota's 87 counties now have emerald ash borer. The Boys Ford Band of Chippewa wants to change the month of its annual State of the Band address. The Boys Ford bylaws require the Tribal Council chairperson to report on the State of the Band each January, but the council says band members would prefer the State of the Band be in March. The change requires an amendment to the bylaws. Public comment on the change ends on Friday. For details on how to submit comment, visit KAXE.org. The spring state tournament season ended with a Northern Minnesota school on top. Park Rapids won the Clay Target State Tourney in Prior Lake on Friday. The invitation-only Minnesota State High School League tournament brings the top 40 teams together. Three Northlanders also placed in the individual competition. Hermantown's Chase Graves finished fourth overall after a three-way tie for first. Monaga's Fortis Johnson finished fifth, and Park Rapids' Hunter Bozovsky finished eighth. It's hard to believe, but the 4th of July is just around the corner. KAXE again compiled a list of fireworks and parades in the Northland. LaPorte Independence Day kicks things off with events this Friday. The parade is 3 p.m. Saturday with fireworks at dusk. Find the full Northern Minnesota lineup at KAXE.org. And drop us a line if we're missing your community celebration. Email news@KAXE.org. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
Up North Report, it's available as a podcast at our website, kaxe.org, or through any of the podcast platforms that you use. You can find that. You can find a Phenology podcast and Ham Radio, as well as what we're reading. Podcasts available from KAXE, keeping you connected to great information in Northern Minnesota.
We receive support at KAXE from Dale's Auto Body, serving the auto body needs of Grand Rapids and surrounding communities since 1984. Performing auto body and collision repair, as well as auto glass replacement. Dedicated to getting you back on the road after an accident. More information at dalesautobodyinc.com.
We'd also like to thank Schroeder Log Home Supply, supplying wood home and cabin owners with specialty sealants, preservatives, and wood finishes. More information at their Grand Rapids store or online at loghelp.com.
Support within reach. Sexual Violence Resource Center is holding karaoke for a cause tonight from 7 to 11 at Zorba's on the Lake in Grand Rapids. There will also be a silent auction with proceeds going to local prevention, education, and awareness efforts.
Coming up, we've got more from Morning Edition here on the Thursday morning show. We've got a story coming up next about a decade of same-sex marriage, looking back. The lead plaintiff in the ruling that legalized gay marriage in all 50 states 10 years ago reflects on the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision today.
A decade. Wow.
Yeah.
Coming up also later on this hour, we will be speaking with the KAXE news team about what they have been up to, and you'll also get your daily dose of Phenology.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
I'm Amy Martinez.
And I'm Layla Faldin. It's June 26th, the anniversary marking the Supreme Court legalizing same-sex marriage.
Today's ruling from the Supreme Court affirms what millions across this country already know to be true in our hearts. Our love is equal.
That's Jim Obergefell, the lead plaintiff in the case, speaking to reporters 10 years ago today. We called him to talk about that historic moment and to talk about what has and hasn't changed. Jim, thank you for joining us.
Layla, thrilled to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
So, Jim, I was listening to you there say our love is equal. When the country finally recognized gay marriage, what was that like for you and for so many Americans?
You know, it was this moment of, wait, we exist. We are seen by our nation's highest court, and our relationships, our marriages, our families can actually exist on an equal footing with others.
For people who don't know your story, why did you take up this fight all those years ago?
You know, this fight isn't something I ever dreamt I would do, but it's surprising what you are willing to do and where you can find the motivation and the courage to do something. John, my partner of almost 21 years, was dying of ALS. And it wasn't until the Supreme Court struck down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act with their decision in United States versus Windsor that we finally had this opportunity to get married, and that's what we did.
And for the past 20 years, 6 months and 11 days, it's been love at every sight.
That's John and Jim on their wedding day in 2013. John was so sick with ALS that he couldn't walk or sit up on his own. But they wanted to be married, and that was not legal in Ohio where they lived.
So we'll fly to Baldwin Wallace International Airport.
So Jim got John on a medically equipped plane. They took their vows on the tarmac of a Maryland airport.
John Montgomery Arthur, do you, continuing from this day, take James Robert Obergefell to be the love of your life, your eternal partner, your husband?
I do. All we wanted to do was live out John's remaining days as husband and husband. But then, because a local civil rights attorney in Cincinnati heard our story, he reached out and said, I would like to meet. And in that meeting, he pulled out a blank Ohio death certificate and said, do you guys understand? Do you get it? When John dies, his last record as an Ohioan, his last official record as a person, will be wrong. Because here where it says marital status at time of death, Ohio will say he was unmarried. Mm. And Jim, your name won't be listed as his surviving spouse. But we were lawfully married in Maryland, and we deserve to have our marriage recognized by the state we called home. John deserved to die a married man. We simply wanted dignity. And that's what motivated us to say, yes, let's fight the state of Ohio. And that's what took me all the way to the Supreme Court. We wanted to exist.
It's been 10 years since that case. What has changed in that decade?
A majority of Americans support marriage equality. And I love the fact that there are queer kids over the past 10 years, they've grown up in a world where the only future they see includes the right to marry the person they love, no matter what happens. That's a great thing for this country. And, you know, there are other things happening in our country that aren't so wonderful for the queer community.
Yeah, I mean, we're also in a moment in which a lot of rights groups, LGBTQ plus communities, are worried about the rollback of the very rights that you fought for. The administration has targeted LGBTQ plus services and monuments. There are state legislations and battles over legislation around gender affirming care for transgender youth and whether that should be banned or not. I mean, what is it like to look at that as we think about this anniversary?
It's terrifying to see all of these attacks on the queer community, especially the most marginalized and the most vulnerable part of our community, the trans community. These are people who want nothing more than to be authentically who they are and to be able to live their life without apology and without fear. There are moments I'm incredibly scared about what the future holds, but then I remind myself, we have been through these things before. We've been through worse times as a community. And what have we done? We have always raised our voices to say, we exist, we are here, we're not going to put up with that. And that's what we will keep doing. All of those people in the past who stood up, they were doing that to gain rights. And what we're experiencing now, what we're facing now, is the likelihood of losing rights that we have gained over the past. And that makes this just a much more fraught time for our community.
10 years, when you sit on this anniversary, what goes through your mind today?
You know, of course, I think about my late husband, John, and I wish that we had had more than 3 months as husband and husband. I wish that we had any time together as a couple where we could know that our state or our government, federal government, wasn't trying to erase our existence. So I always think of John, but more than that, I think about those queer kids who have grown up in a world where marriage is just simply a possibility, one of many, for their future. And that's what kids deserve. And I also think about this young woman at University of Tennessee who told me that if it weren't for marriage equality, if it weren't for a lawsuit, if it weren't for a Supreme Court decision, she would have committed suicide. Mm. And the fact that this one person told me that, I know there are others who felt the same way, but she found a reason not to take her own life. She found a reason to keep living because she finally, as a closeted queer kid, saw a future that included her. So that's what I think about constantly. It reminds me of just how important and meaningful this decision is and the hope that it gives to people. And I just keep moving forward knowing that all we can do is use our voices and work hard to be included in We the People.
Jim Obergefell was the lead plaintiff in Obergefell versus Hodges and is now an advocate and activist. He also officiates weddings. Thanks so much for taking some time to speak with us on this anniversary.
Thank you so much, Layla. I appreciate it.
If you or someone you know may be considering suicide or is in crisis, call or text 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. This is NPR News.
It's 7:16. Thanks for tuning in to KAXE, People Powered Radio, where you hear Morning Edition, you hear local conversations, local news, and great music. I'm Heidi Holton with Kari Hedlund.
Support on KAXE comes from Paul Bunyan Communications, powered by the GigaZone, offering fiber optic fast internet speeds up to 10 gig and GigaZone Blast Wi-Fi, featuring Wi-Fi 6 technology to support devices wirelessly. Paul Bunyan Communications, it's right here. Our question of the week this week, what are your favorite summertime recipes? You can text us those, 218-326-1234. I've been thinking about this a little bit.
Yeah.
One of which we were talking about in the kitchen the other day about tuna salad.
Mm-hmm.
Like the old school tuna salad with the noodles, celery.
Noodles. Okay. So a tuna salad casserole then? Or hot
but
dish?
It's cold.
Oh, okay.
We always called it a tuna salad.
Okay.
What else?
That makes sense. You're
what
right.
What else would you
call it? What kind of noodles?
They were, my mom always would do the little elbow macaroni,
yes,
I think.
Yep. I hear you.
What kind of, I guess we were talking about two different things then and I didn't even know it.
Well, there's a tuna noodle casserole, it's called. I know I shouldn't say casserole in Minnesota, but
like the warm one?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't, for some reason to me, tuna shouldn't be warm.
I agree with that.
Like, I don't even know if I've ever had it.
Almost
it
like makes me ahi a little, tuna.
It makes me a little bit, you know, thinking about it for some reason with cheese. Like it's always a weird, usually it had cheese on it.
Oh, but the cheese works for me. Do you like a tuna melt?
I do. I wouldn't have thought I did, but I actually do.
I love it.
Like, but cheese on fish is usually questionable, but it works in that instance. Mm-hmm. Tuna is a different kind of fish. I mean, you're not going to be making up some walleye and putting, you know,
slice of American cheese.
Yeah,
on it.
Hunk of Velveeta on there or anything. But
I mean, maybe one does. So, yeah. I don't know.
So, are you eating that? That's your kind of summer thing?
No, I haven't made it yet this summer. Mm. But I've ever since our conversation. I haven't made it in years and now I'm craving it. So that might have to happen.
I've been making some tuna salad where it's like fun to just play around with it, you know, putting in the crunchy of the celery, which I just now, because of Ham Radio, I'm fully embracing how much I love celery.
Mm-hmm.
We had this conversation last
week. For its texture?
For its taste.
Okay. Yeah.
Amy was talking last week with a fellow chef and cookbook author, and they were talking about she has a new cookbook coming out. This is Natasha Pickowitz. She has a new cookbook coming out on Hot Pot. And she's just talking about the immense joy she has of celery and water, the taste of it. And Amy just started laughing. She was like, I'm so glad that you said that because I too love the smell of celery and water. And I'm like,
so like instead of a cucumber water, it's a celery water.
Not that you're drinking it. You're starting to make your broth and the smell of cooking celery.
Oh, I see. Yes. Which I love a celery onion mixture when you're doing mm-hmm. that for the base.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me realize I just used to think celery really didn't taste like anything, that it was basically just crunch and
water.
Crunch and then, you know, the cream cheese and paprika that my grandma put on there, you know, and maybe.
Oh.
Or peanut butter.
Like as a dip.
Oh, we always had at the holidays the carrots and then celery that had cream cheese with paprika and then some had peanut butter with raisins.
Yeah, ants on a log.
Yes. But it was always the little, you know,
that was the
before the meal comes sort of thing. But anyway, I love putting that. So back to the tuna salad, cutting up celery, putting that in, but then you know, I've a little better, I've different taste buds nowadays. So fun to put in, you know, fresh lemon and then maybe some cilantro or parsley or whatever I might have around, and just kind of playing around with those flavors in a different way that I hadn't before, you know, and it's so good. And then even I love a good egg salad. So I also did a combo of tuna salad, egg salad. That was really good too.
Very good.
Yeah. Oh, and some, that's right, I forgot, sweet pickle relish. That was always my mom's secret for the egg salad and deviled eggs she made. And it's so good. So good. But I also used my new favorite thing, which feels weird to say out loud, but I already told you, they have a dill pickle mayo.
Yes. Which would be so good. So and what, like, you're talking about right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Dill pickle mayo, but also some sweet pickle relish in there. I was kind of putting them all together. Woo, is it good?
Sweet pickle relish is one of those things that I despised as a child, and now I love it so much.
I don't think sweet pickles are very fashionable. People don't seem to like them as much these days.
I feel like chefs like them. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. You can weigh in on the pickle debate here. You can text us at 218-326-1234.
Another one of my favorites from growing up, which I've also just recently been thinking about making, is my mom used to always in the summertime make a gallon bucket, ice cream bucket of slush. Slush?
What?
Like a, you'd put it in the freezer and then you'd scoop it out with an ice cream cone and then you'd mix it in with, you'd pour 7-Up over it. Like it's like an orange slushy kind of.
Sure. Well, that sounds delicious.
Oh, it was.
What's in the orange?
I don't know. Okay. And that's the thing. And my mom can't remember.
I hope it was Tang.
No Tang. My mom was not a Tang.
Okay.
It was like orange juice. But I've asked her and she cannot remember what
it
was.
You got to try to recreate.
I know.
That was a really big taste sensation for me as a kid too, was the 7-Up and orange juice.
Like I loved that like so much.
Like such a crazy thing. And then also we lived when I was very young, we lived in a town for just 4 years. So I have very fuzzy memories from ages 4 to 8. But the neighbor had a business that had a pop machine outside. It was a snowmobile business. And so when my brother, oldest brother, would be babysitting me, he'd run over and buy a can of pop for me, like a special thing. And I just remember this in wintertime, and he'd do a cup of snow and then he'd put Orange Crush over it. So good. Like I thought it was like, oh my gosh.
Keith did that.
Wasn't Keith. It was my brother, Tim.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Keith is not quite old enough to be my babysitter, if that makes sense. So yeah.
Yes, there was something about that orange juice mixture with the 7-Up. Like it was bubbly, but not a full pop bubbly, like not a soda bubbly. It was just a hint of effervescence.
I mean, let's be honest. This is a little bit mimosa-like without the alcohol, right? A mimosa is pretty good too.
Pretty good. It is. That's true. So text us your favorite summertime recipes. We'd love to hear from you. 218-326-1234.
We're talking a little bit tomorrow night on Ham Radio about summer kitchens. Like if people, kind of olden times, we're talking to a woman tomorrow night from Belarus, and she's remembering the summer kitchens where the food moved outside to a building.
That's what we do at our cabin.
Nice.
Because it gets too hot.
Right. You don't want to cook in this place where you're having to live.
Small space and it heats up real quickly.
Yeah.
And we have an old, very inefficient oven and stove.
Right.
So we're actually trying to figure this out. We've got a Blackstone set up and we don't have another grill out there at the moment, just a little Q grill. Mm-hmm. But this is a good conversation. I'll be curious to hear from other people because we have this sort of setup going on every summer.
Coming up after 8 o'clock, we're going to hear one of the conversations from our run of Ham Radio that is about this week's community recipe. It was so fun last week during the show. Someone was making the onion pie during the show and sending us photos of it. And oh my gosh. And I've heard from a number of people that have tried the onion pie and said it was amazing.
Did you talk about the flavor of that at all? I was at a family reunion last weekend, so I missed Ham Radio.
Yeah. Not so much on this episode because it was onion pie was the week before, but it's kind of.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. Because we've been talking about it for a while. Not really, just of it being, honestly, I think what we were talking about was just being a comfort food more than anything because it's got cheese and onions and you caramelize the onions.
It looks beautiful. I saw
And then kind of this old school, like either saltine or Ritz crackers on top.
Oh.
And so it can be, you can add things and do whatever, but I don't remember besides onion and you know, what caramelizing onions taste like. We talked about a little bit too. So
love that.
Yep.
So tune in tomorrow night. That will be at 6 o'clock for Ham Radio. Support on KAXE comes from Grand Itasca Clinic and Hospital, home to an experienced OBGYN team that provides comprehensive women's health services, including maternity and advanced gynecological care, all in Grand Rapids. Learn more at granditasca.org.
Weather around our region, we are expecting a mostly cloudy day today, highs in the upper 60s to low 70s. Slight chance of some rain and fog moving in this afternoon with east winds 10 to 20. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows 52 to 55. Could see a little bit of rain as well.
I grabbed a little Hooray for the Riffraff here. We could take a listen. It's off of the, I think it was one of the earliest from Linda Lee Segarra out in 2017. This is Living in the City.
One, two, three. He said, I'm the sweetest thing, well, that he's never tasted. Mariposa singing love songs, all in her dark apartment. 14 floors of burden, and 14 floors of diet. Living in the city. To the stairwell, and I give you something I can offer. You know, the heart, it's not the hopeless, the heart is a lonely hunter. Hot long summer day, where's it sneaking by the river? Oh, I lock my dreams away, and I watch the city quiver.
Ooh, I like that one.
Living in the city. I love that song. That's off The Navigator. And they're going to actually be performing at Blue Ox. I was just talking to Malachi yesterday. He's heading over there and was talking about the Hooray for the Riffraff is one of the ones that he's most looking forward to checking out. Along with Margo Price, she's going to be performing there and bringing her new band. So I'm excited to hear what Malachi thinks of that show. I was able to check it out in Philadelphia earlier this year, and it's so good. I think it's going to be great here in Grand Rapids along the banks of the Mississippi. Do you have your tickets for Riverfest? It's coming up Saturday, September 6th. It'll be here before we know it. I hate to say it. I hate to be that person, but it's true. It's already almost July.
Hey, I have a special request. If you know you're coming, get your tickets ahead of time. We're a small organization. We need to know people are coming. We need to know how to plan for this and figure it out.
Hear, Heidi. That's
great
point.
Ask your friends and neighbors, set up something. I know I'm not always good. I can be kind of a hermit, so I'm not always good at like setting things up with friends. This is a good time to do that. Like invite someone to come from another place, you know, and stay with you and go to this event. Show off Northern Minnesota to them.
Heidi, I don't know if you would agree with this statement, but I feel like you are very much a person, and I think a lot of people today especially are out there like this, where little hesitant to or make the plans, but sometimes you're like, I don't know if I really want to go. And then when you go there, you're like the star of the show because you can't wait. You're having a great time.
Yeah, for sure. And it does sort of get that way. I mean, I have gotten to, I should probably be more organized than I am, or planning a little bit more. I kind of leave things pretty open in my personal life because my work life is so
full,
jammed.
Yes.
Right. And so I don't do as many things like that. But when I set something up, when I do set it up, I'm like, then I realize, oh, this is why people do this.
I know.
You look forward to it. Like I have a friend just gave me some tickets to the Lynx and I'm going to go. Like,
nice.
I've been meaning to go to the Lynx and then I just kind of never do it because I'm like, when am I going to go and all this stuff. So things like,
Do the Lynx know, like when you go there, do they know that you...
Oh, yeah. No, of course not.
They
of course
should.
Not. Oh, my gosh. I'm a little worried. We'll talk about the Lynx tomorrow. I'm a little worried about them. They lost the game to, like, they lost this week, Tuesday night, to the Washington Mystics. And the players
have lost.
Yeah. Yeah. They had a much better record. But that's okay. I think you need some losses to, like, get a kick in the, you know, because they still have the best record in the league. They've just lost only two games right now. But, you know, people that are usually the spark, you know, that come off the bench when things are kind of low right at the beginning, they were not on Natasha Heidman and Courtney Williams even were not making the shots they usually do. And it was kind of a heartbreaking game to watch. But they're working hard. They're doing their best. Their jobs. These are hard working women in these leagues. It's amazing. We just got back Jessica Shepherd, who had to go overseas. She plays on a Turkey team, and they were in the like final four or final cup or something. So she went back for that. So she was gone for 4 days. So she did play very well because she had been playing overseas, and she was just right back at it. So yeah, these are women that work so hard at these jobs.
Yeah. There was also big news. This is like number one rule in radio. Don't bring something up that you don't know what you're talking about.
But I'm going to do it anyway. Well, are you ready for people to text and correct you? Because that's
happen. I'm putting this out there knowing that I fully don't know the story. But what do you know what the deal is with the Timberwolves? The sale? I just saw some headlines yesterday.
It's the Lynx too. A-Rod and another guy bought the Lynx, and they want to be in a different place than the Target Center is all I've seen.
But not leave Minnesota, right?
Well, they've said that, but the Star Tribune was reporting, you know, kind of almost in quotes that they have said they won't leave Minnesota.
Okay.
It was kind of alluded to, we don't actually know what's going to happen.
Sure. Because there was also another headline that I said that it could mean like a new
stadium.
Arena.
Yeah. I guess Target Center is one of the oldest of the NBA arenas and smallest.
Oh, okay.
And so that's part of, I think, they want growth in the league.
And there has been growth, like, in interest in the last, in the last 10 years.
But it's, you know, it's complicated because downtown Minneapolis, you know, post-COVID has struggled, but the major league sports that are down there really add to, you know, everything. And it sounds like they don't even want to be in downtown Minneapolis. So
really?
And then what do you do with the Target, you know?
Well, and then the Target Center just underwent all these renovations not terribly long ago. Mm-hmm. That's,
I hope it's at least down the road a little bit, but Yeah, because it's also, I always sort of forget that that's the Lynx and the Timberwolves are both, that's.
I didn't realize they were like a unit as mm-hmm. far as like that they were being sold.
Yeah, WNBA and NBA are together, mm-hmm. you know, so they have, you have sister, brother leagues or whatever, how yeah. you might say it. Yeah.
I just picked back up Running Point, that show with
Kate
Hudson.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
fun.
Yeah, it's, I just restarted watching it again last night. It's a very, very good show. I forgot about it. You know mm-hmm. how that happens with shows? Like I watched 4 episodes and then just like didn't go back.
Yeah.
So I remembered it last night.
Right.
You are listening to KAXE. We are People Powered Radio. If you missed our conversations yesterday, there was a really great morning show yesterday. From the Bemidji community, talking a lot about the devastation that the community has experienced last weekend. And you can find some of those stories at our website. You can also find resources and more coverage from our news team. We'll be talking with Megan Buffington in just a little bit about what they have been covering from the news team's standpoint. And so go to KAXE.org to check it out.
And if it did not affect you, I know I didn't really realize the devastation. I'll be heading back over to Friday and the difference between last Friday mm-hmm. and this Friday. Mm-hmm. I know it was going to be stark. But if you didn't really realize what had happened and want to do your part, there are ways to donate to help out folks. This is changing the face of Bemidji. Mm-hmm. And folks are coming together to help each other out. And, you know, if you know people in Bemidji, check in on them. This is tough.
We receive support from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, and saunas. Learn more online at hotspringhottubmn.com. And support comes from Atchison Tire in Grand Rapids, providing service and offering tire brands like Bridgestone, Firestone, and Toyo. Serving the area since 1916, more at atchisontire.com.
Time for our best wishes. We do our best to wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday and happy anniversary.
I get the anniversary.
All right. Today is June 26th.
Heidi Holton and Tom Cobb celebrating 21 years of wedded bliss mm-hmm. from Grand Rapids. Happy anniversary, Heidi.
Thank you.
And Tom. Holly and Mike Newton also celebrating an anniversary today from Grand Rapids.
Alan and Jennifer Lipke have their 54th anniversary from Hibbing. Susan and Stephen Keller, also 54 years of marriage from Minneapolis and Deer Lake. And David and Pamela Beckman celebrate 32 years of marriage from Minneapolis.
And our volunteer, Pat Miller, has a birthday
today. He's on the radio today.
Oh, he's celebrating his birthday
yes.
with us.
Yep.
Happy birthday, Pat, from Bemidji. Mary Jane Black turned 78 today from Longville.
And Oni Koski, happy birthday to you. He's 70 today from Virginia.
That's a great name.
I know.
If you have a birthday or anniversary to share, text us 218-326-1234.
Here's a little nice anniversary kind of song.
One, two, three. Keeping my eyes on the road this time around. I'm keeping my hands pressed to the wheel. Something so strange as a woman has got me down. Ain't gonna be your damn fool. Driving tonight just to ease my mind. A man in this mood is the most dangerous kind. And there was a time my head went blind, couldn't see the sign of time. Years would go by before I wondered to or where or what or why. Loving you is like loving a house on fire. Burning and learning, baby, when the damage was done. stop thinking about you. I can't stop thinking about you. Face to face with what I've been running from all these years. There hangs a dark cloud over the moon. For off to this roadside dive and maybe test my sobriety. Order a tall cold ginger ale. But that your quality, or high quality, that put me in the shape I'm in.
Sexy little number there.
Martin Sexton, from a release from 2008 that is Can't Stop Thinking About You.
Martin Sexton is coming back to Grand Rapids.
I saw that.
End of September. He's playing at Rapids Brewing.
Boy, he puts on a show.
That was, I went to the last one and I'd never seen him before. You know, he's a longtime KAXC fave, mm-hmm. and heard the lore of how great he was. He is a ultimate engaging artist, like as far as people.
Oh,
he,
my gosh.
He had the entire audience in the mm-hmm. palm of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a packed room. It was wild.
I'm trying to decide if Tom would be awake if I can tell this story or not, but I think I can. So I did. I saw one time, I mean, I saw Martin Sexton. He played here a few times, yeah. But I first saw him at Winnipeg Folk Festival. And it was, you know, you don't always get along with your spouse, right? And things can be, especially if you go away somewhere. And it was, you know, how Winnipeg goes. It was a mud year.
Oh, yeah.
So we were kind of up to our calves most of the time in mud.
Yeah.
And then bugs and then things, you know. And then early in a relationship, trying to figure each other out. So we were kind of kept going, well, I'll go to this and you go to that, you know, to kind of like temper what was going on.
Diffuse the situation.
And then we showed up at one of the workshops that Martin Sexton was hosting with some other artists. And
which would be like such a great place to see Martin Sexton too, in that workshop sort of style.
In my memory, this might not be true. We actually were sitting on the grass, of course, just kind of moved over closer to each other. It's like it changed the whole dynamic of the Winnipeg Folk Festival for us.
That one workshop, mm-hmm. just kind of,
The way,
love
the
it.
The way, you know, music can do that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him once in Duluth at the North Shore Theater, and then the next morning went to Amazing Grace when it was there with my best friend. And I was wearing a KXC sweatshirt, and we just went up to him and talked to him, and he was like, so glad you're here. I love KXC. And I was just like, oh my God, it's just ridiculous.
He's just a man, but he's a really great songwriter.
Yeah, he got, I follow him a little bit on some of the socials, and he's, you know, one of his biggest fans who mentions him, Howard Stern.
Really?
Loves him. Yeah.
That is unexpected.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Thanks for that anniversary song, Heidi, and story. Love it.
No, don't tell anyone about that.
Yeah. It was just between the three of us. It's here.
Coming up, we're going to talk about local news, but first it's our daily dose of phonology with John Latimer.
On today's date, June 26th, 1999, the Juneberries are ripening. You may recall that the Juneberries were what we described as synchronously blooming, so all the flowers bloomed within a day or so of one another. But they are asynchronously fruiting, and so their fruit ripens sort of one today, two tomorrow, six the next day, five the day after that, then three, and then one. And so the fruit doesn't all come ripe at the same time. And there's a reason for that, and that is that they want to space out the opportunities for the fruit to actually be there and have a chance to put seeds in the ground. They're not making this fruit for us to eat, though they are delicious. They're making this fruit so that they can propagate more trees. And in order to do that, they've decided to have an asynchronous fruiting series. And what happens to us is that we're looking at the fruit thinking, oh boy, any day now, these are all going to be ripe and I'm going to have a great feast. And what really happens is that they don't ripen all at once. The robins come in and they eat all the ripe ones today, and tomorrow they'll be back and eat the ripe ones tomorrow. And this goes on for weeks and weeks, and you never really see the numbers that you're hoping to find.
It is the Thursday morning show here on People Powered, KAXE.
Speaking of phonology, just learned something from Charlie Mitchell the other day in the Season Watch newsletter. She included a picture of the orange hawkweed that is apparently invasive.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a bunch of them up at my cabin this year. And I've been admiring them this whole this year. Like, oh, they're so cute because they like close up at night and then they open up during the day. And they are adorable little flowers. But turns out they're not great.
You know what? I've had the similar thing happen with lilies of the valley. They're invasive too.
Oh, yes.
I love lilies of the valley.
I would rather have those than snow on the mountain. That's not invasive, is it? But it is invasive.
You know, it's funny. We love snow on the mountain at our house because Tom took it. It's a memory of his mom. We planted it on our hill. So it gets bigger and bigger and bigger every year.
I guess I don't like it because it's in my front landscaping and it is like.
Yep.
Moving out of the landscaping and
and that's what exactly
suffocating
why,
everything else.
Yep, and that's exactly why we want it. It's on the hill down to the lake.
That makes sense.
So it's beautiful sight there. So yeah, you learn something new all the time when it comes to nature or news from our region. Joining us in the studio now is our reporter, Megan Buffington. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning.
Well, so much to talk about. And I wonder if you would, a bigger question for you. So the news team has been covering storms and weather in the last few weeks, especially. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, does it intrigue you to cover this kind of story? Why is it important to cover weather in this region? What does it mean to our communities, I guess?
Yeah, I think there's two things driving it. One is just an interest. When I'm talking about, not just within our station, but just in journalism in general, and what sort of story should we do and answers, it's like, well, what are you looking up? Mm-hmm. Like, what information are you looking mm-hmm. for? And everyone, myself included, is going on their phones looking up, well, where was the storm? Where's the damage? What happened? How bad was it? Mm-hmm. How fast were the winds? What are we looking at? You know, I want to see pictures. Did someone mm-hmm. have a tree down? Like, there's almost a morbid curiosity around storms, mm-hmm. Especially in the upper Midwest. So that's part of it, is just people are looking for this information. We want to serve it to them. And then there's also the public service element of it too. And not only are people looking for this information, but especially when we have severe storms come through, people need this information. They mm-hmm. need to know, this is where I can find resources. This is how I can get help cleaning up. This is where I can get food when I don't have power for multiple days. I mean, there's a lot of different elements to that. So, you know, sometimes we'll have those quick hit ones where it was like, oh, tornado kind of in the middle of nowhere, we've had them, or even through an urban core like Northern Crow Wing County, or not an urban core, but a more densely populated mm-hmm. area. But even then it's, all right, they're cleaning up. Things could have been worse. That's good. Other times it's a multi-day, hey, things are bad in Bemidji. What can we do to get information out there?
Yeah. So this is something that you know, when you were going to school to be a journalist and to be a reporter, did you know that weather would be a large part of what you did?
Probably not, though. Yeah. I will say my mom calls me her meteorologist, Megan.
Sure.
stemming from storm anxiety I had in like middle school. Yeah. So I've always been obsessive over, I can read a radar like it's nobody's business. that's just a personal
data. Megan.
Yeah. Personal interest. I've always like poor Brayden. I'm like, look at the wind map. Like, it's crazy. Look how fast. So that's always been around. The day I learned you can call the National Weather Service 24/7 and they'll talk to you about weather. Best day of my life.
Oh, wow. Welcome to my middle school and high school years before in the era of, landlines.
Yeah.
If I didn't want my parents knowing that I was talking on the phone or that someone was going to be calling me late, I would call the National Weather Service and then wait for call waiting.
And here I am just actually calling the National Weather Service.
Yeah, no, I wasn't actually
listening. Wow.
I was doing it for social purposes.
Well, let's talk specifics and what you guys have been covering in terms of storms.
Yeah, so it's probably, let's go reverse chronological, I suppose. Everyone's heard about, especially after yesterday's morning show, about derecho that came through Bemidji in the early hours of Saturday.
And derecho is
a line of thunderstorms with really strong, usually straight line winds.
Okay.
So in this case, it was, they're estimating wind speeds up to the strength of a Category 2 hurricane, almost a strong Category 2, weak Category 3, so 100 to 120 mile per hour winds. That tore through about a 10 to 20 mile wide area, came with this line of storms, had the brunt of the damage. And so Bemidji has lost thousands of trees, tens of thousands, and that's not an exaggeration, tens of thousands of people were without power, most of them for at least about a day. Some are just starting to get power back. I haven't looked this morning. I know yesterday we were down to the couple hundred still without, which is a testament to the power companies and all they've done. One thing that Beltrami Electric had pointed out that has really stuck with me is that they had multiple power poles just snapped right in the middle. Mm-hmm. And it takes four linemen 4 hours to change out one power pole.
My gosh.
And that's not considering any debris cleaning, if there's a tree on it, anything like that. And they had dozens and dozens of these snapped. So that's a lot of what, in addition to substation damage and all these trees mm-hmm. on the line and not snapping the pole. So there's been a lot of work day in, day out to get power back for that community. And Bemidji's still recovering emotionally. That's going to take time. It's hard when you wake up and your home looks completely different. That's going to be something that's not going to be done in a week. That's going to be continuing.
I saw some people that had trees down for sure. Their house was intact, but fell on both cars, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it just like it hit people in such different ways and affects your daily life, you know?
Well, and in conversation with Dan yesterday, talking about, you know, the after effects too of even the trees that didn't come down, maybe knocked a huge branch from another tree that didn't come down. Mm-hmm. So now they've got to get that tree. You know, there's like this continuing effect.
Right. And I'm sure there's an element too of, not to speak for Bemidjians, but you know, when you have a bad storm come through, it's kind of isolated and it's like, hey, my buddy's going to come down with a chainsaw and we're all going to, we got hit particularly hard, but we're all going to come together where everyone got hit so hard. Yeah. It's everyone's using their chainsaws and everything. There's not an extra person to come in. I'm sure people are coming from outside the community, but this is a community-wide experience.
Well, and there's that, we've seen it with other storm damage too. There's kind of a seamy underbelly of people taking advantage of these situations too.
Yeah, so that too, it's always important. There will be people who come in, especially on social media, they can come to your door and saying, oh, I'll clean up for you, blah, blah, blah. So always make sure you're not paying up front right away without doing your due diligence. Checking to see in the city of Bemidji, they have to be certified through the city in a certain way. But always, make sure they're a legitimate business. Make sure they've references and people they can point to. If they're ever trying to be pushy or trying to get you to pay or sign something right away, super quick, trust your gut. Mm-hmm. It's not worth, people will try to take advantage of you in a vulnerable state and don't let them.
So, I was going to go to the next.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to go on to, two weeks.
Oh my God.
There was also,
we
had another strong line of storms come through Crow Wing County. That was kind of moved. I was watching the storm chasers. So kind of started in the Wadena County, Todd County, Wadena into Staples area for a second there. It looked like Wadena was under a tornado warning. And it's like, no, not Wadena. They can't, not again. Oh. They ended up getting through with just, you know, a strong storm. But as that was moving along, kind of north of Staples, that storm ended up dropping a tornado just northwest of Pillager in some farm country there, some farm forest country. That tornado stayed on the ground, crossed County Road 77 on the west side of Gull Lake, crossed Gull Lake. You can see the path. I was just down there heading to dinner when I was home last weekend and nothing too crazy, but you're like, oh, yep, and there goes the line of trees right across the road. That same storm then dropped another tornado a couple miles northeast of where the first one kind of came up. That was on the southeast side of Nisswa, sort of, and it kind of followed straight east from there through the community of Merrifield and before picking up kind of on the southwest edge of the Cuyuna mountain bike area.
Okay.
Both of those, again, was very minimal structural damage, a lot of trees down, but the more isolated to a specific area. Didn't end up, no reported injuries or fatalities from that. And again, like I was saying, there was definitely an impact, but it wasn't as widespread as something like a derecho. It was through a very narrow path. But yeah, also there's a tornado Sunday night, I believe, dropped down in northern Beltrami County near Grigla. That was in a very rural area. Doesn't sound like there was any major impacts from that. Not to mention we've had so much rain, so much heavy rainfall, multiple periods of flash flooding. So it's been a wild June, that's for sure.
It is. I heard southern Minnesota too today is going to be getting, there were some reports up to 5 inches of rain.
And they've had so much rain down there. It is just muck down there. It is,
Yeah. Wild times outside of storms and weather, Megan, there's a lot of other things happening.
There is, yes. The news doesn't stop just because storms come.
Talk about this, the nurses' strike there was a lot of news yesterday in particular and just in the last while.
Yeah, so three separate groups within the Minnesota Nurses Association voted to authorize strikes on Monday, meaning that doesn't mean they are going on strike, but it means that they've told their negotiators